Right now, a little bit north of you, Europe is in the thick of summer. And if you are not freshly tanned from visiting those northern climes yourself, your social media feed is probably full of people who are. But behind the perfect beaches and melting gelato are wildfires and heat waves. They're becoming so significant, we're altering our travel plans. There's new research that shows that a fifth of people surveyed had changed their most recent holiday because of the weather. We're seeing extreme weather events around the world. They're hitting at times when most people would be thinking of travelling. In Europe, authorities are calling this fire season the worst in modern history. And our own Aussie summer is predicted to be a scorcher with a strong El Nino building. So how will heat and extreme weather impact our travel plans and maybe the patterns of tourism into the future? We're about to hear from a couple of people with thoughts on this, but I'd love to hear from you if you've made changes to holiday plans due to the weather. Is there maybe a trip you used to take every year that you have pushed to a different time? Well, one of the co-authors of this new research is Stephen Garnett. He's a professor of conservation and sustainable livelihoods at Charles Darwin University. Stephen, welcome to Life Matters.
Good morning, Tegan.
Tell me about what your research found.
So we did a national survey of about 2,000 people, and you mentioned that 20% had changed their plans. Now, about 6% was because of rain, and that was expected. People don't like rain. A slightly larger group was because of natural disasters like fire or flood, sort of climate-driven things. That was 8%. But the surprise to us was that the last holiday affected 6% of people because of the heat. They'd changed something because it was just too hot for them.
I mean, we're pretty used to hot weather here in Australia. What surprised you most about these findings?
Well, exactly that. We're used to heat. We expect heat. You plan for heat. You know, it's going to be hot and sunny on the beach. So people are saying, well, it's just too hot. Mm. I can't stand it. I'm going to do something else.
Were you looking at Australian tourism only or international as well?
About 30% of people had taken their last holiday overseas, in mostly to Asia, over half to Asia. What was it, about 20% to Europe, 10% New Zealand. But there wasn't much difference, actually, in the effects of heat between any of those things on the tourism decisions.
Right, so it really is tourism across the board. Well, also here with us is Anne Hardy. He's an adjunct professor in the Hotel School at Southern Cross University. And when you heard about this new research from Stephen, what did you make of it?
Oh, good morning. Yeah, look, it's really fascinating. And I think that this research is underpinning a lot of conversations that are happening in the tourism industry worldwide at the moment, because we're starting to see people changing what they do, as Stephen had said, and what that is doing is it's impacting the tourism industry. So we're starting to see people have substitutions, going to places because it's too hot, or even changing what they do during the day. So the kind of movements, the mobility and the temporal dimensions of tourism are changing. They might be doing things earlier in the morning and later at night, or if it's too much, they're changing their plans completely. And that brings a host of, impact and infrastructure needs to the tourism industry.
Can you give me some examples?
Yeah, so at the moment, well, most recently what we've seen in Spain, for example, over the summer is, I believe that many people have gone down to Spain for the coast, and it's just been so warm that they've started to go up into the villages and spend their time up there. But the villages behind the coast don't necessarily have the tourism infrastructure which is needed for tourists. They may not have good roads, enough public toilets, enough restaurants, that type of thing. So that, and also the villagers may not always want to have tourism in them. So that sort of substitution effect has happened quite suddenly. And for some destinations, it sort of caught them unawares.
It feels like there might be some winners and some losers here.
Yeah, look, there are. I mean, there's always, you know, there's always winners and losers. And the thing about tourism is it's a trend and it reacts to things. So, you know, places, some of the ironic thing is that some of the losers because of the environment, if we want to call it that, such as the Great Barrier Reef or, say, Antarctica, they're finding that a lot of people go there now because they know they're losing. They want to go there before they disappear. Right. And we call that last chance travel. So, yes, there's an irony that, you know, just like we've seen with Dolly Parton, as soon as something becomes rare or perhaps it's about to end or in her case ended, rest in peace, then people start to want to go there or you know, revisit that place.
Mm. You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor. I'm talking to Anne Hardy from Southern Cross University and Stephen Garnett from Charles Darwin University about climate and weather shifting our travel plans. Stephen is the co-author of a new study showing that a fifth of the people that they surveyed said that they made changes to their most recent holiday because of the weather. If you've had that experience, if you've made changes to your travel plans, I'd love to know about it. Jason says, I just got back from 4 weeks in Italy and wouldn't go back at this time of year again. Too hot. Well, Anne, I'm interested to know whether we're seeing this in Australia's tourism offerings.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think we are starting to see it. We're starting to see people get, for example, I'm in Tasmania, so we're starting to see an increasing interest in cool weather tourism. That's a worldwide phenomenon. So Tasmania is taking advantage of that. But we're also starting to see the impacts on the industry. So over the last 2 years in the east coast of Tasmania in a town called Bishanoe, it's well known for its penguin population. And over the last couple of years, you know, around the summer, 1 year it was December, this year it happened, I think, in February, the water warmed up and suddenly the birds that had little chicks, they disappeared. So the chicks were left unfed. And we're not 100% sure, but it seems that it correlated at the same time with a very sudden warming in the temperature of the water. And the birds were forced, the penguins were forced to go right out to sea to try and find food. And they didn't return for a much longer period of time. So we're seeing some, you know, very worrying things about the product or our wildlife and our environment. And we're also seeing worrying things in terms of the fact that this increased risk from climate change is increasing insurance premiums. And this is a massive issue in tourism at the moment.
Yeah, so all of those knock-on effects coming through as well. You're telling me your altered travel plans. John says, we used to ride the Murray to the Mountains Rail Trail as a family, but the threat of wildfires and the inability to outrun a firefront on a bike means we can no longer consider this as an option. And Richard in Newcastle says, I visit my brother in Europe. I'd prefer to visit in the cooler months, but he always encourages me to visit in the months with longer daylight hours so we can do more outdoors in the evening. Sort of getting it from both ends there. Stephen, where do you predict this going in the future?
It's going to be a mix. I think people will adapt. The tourism industry will adapt. I think that people will learn to live with heat. But yeah, it's going to be shifting behaviours when people go to places. There's going to be new products. There's going to be new locations, cooler locations. It's going to be really interesting to see which things are selected for and which aren't as this changes. It's coming at us regardless. We can't stop it now. And we're going to have to adapt to it.
So, Anne, what do you see those adaptations looking like in Australia?
Yeah, I think Stephen's right. I think adaptations might be that people will start to go to different places. And I think they'll also go at different times. So recently there was an article, I think, in the ABC, which was very interesting to me, which was about the morning economy and how there's this increase in, you know, people buying and purchasing and doing things in Australia in the cooler hours. So I think we'll see changes in terms of what people will do during the day. And we also might see, you know, that I think the people, tourists are risk averse. They do worry about risk. And I think that will have impacts on, you know, what people do when they do it and where they do it as well.
Well, Stephen, and thank you both so much for chatting with me today. Stephen Garnett is Professor of Conservation and Sustainable Livelihoods at Charles Darwin University. He co-wrote the study we've been talking about with Professor Kirsten Sander, and Anne Hardy is an adjunct professor in the Hotel School at Southern Cross University. And you're sending me your texts as well. Terry says, I would recommend not travelling to Canada with the idea of travelling through the Rocky Mountains in their fall due to smoke haze and poor scenic visibility. Another says, we've changed our ski holiday plans in recent years. Previously, we would go in mid-August. Now we are going in June if there is an early dump, or mid to late July, as by August, it's often too warm and the snow is melting. Never go in the July school holidays anymore. This year, it was 15 degrees during the day, literally t-shirt weather, at the top of the mountain.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music, and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.